issue of free energy. You know, our guest, Dr. Brian O'Leary, is speaking with us from Vicababa, Ecuador. Now, James, you know, James Chu here want to ask you a few questions also.
Yes, hi Brian. Hi Dr. O'Leary.
Hi.
I should call you Dr. O'Leary. As I said earlier, I am a fellow free energy researcher in Hong Kong, and I actually study a lot of the devices that you mentioned. And so I know what you're saying is absolutely true, at least to me. And I have two questions for you. The first is that you mentioned earlier that there is a need for people not to utilize the free energy devices and turn it into a weapon. So my first question is, how do you prevent people from doing that? And the second question is, if you talk about the need for people to develop more spiritually, their consciousness, to be more peace-loving, then the question is, well, how do you see the sequence of event? In another word, do we need to develop more peacefully first, or can we develop the free energy device first and then become more peaceful? What do you think?
Well, these are excellent questions, and you've obviously gotten your thinking about this has matured enormously, because as soon as people go through certain phases of understanding of what's possible here, first of all, scientifically, if you understand it, if you understand the engineering, then you can get to the social political aspects, which are really the more important aspects for this discussion. And I totally agree with you that, and I have very mixed feelings myself about this technology, because it is so powerful, it could be abused, just like nuclear energy. And I am very, very, and this is just personally, very upset with what the U.S. government and governments have been doing in terms of foreign policy that's very aggressive. And I would love to see of the world get together and discuss the issues that really count, which is peace and sustainability and justice. If we cannot, the energy systems we now use, it's widely acknowledged, are very, very polluting. And we can't go on like this for another, let's say, generation or two, or the planet itself is we're not going to survive as a species, and nature is being destroyed as well. We can't have, for example, China build a new coal power plant every week or two and expect to have a sustainable future. We can't have the U.S. Have all these nuclear weapons and expect to just possibly use them. These things are not okay. And so I think you're right. I think that we need to come together and have a very bold peace agenda before we develop free energy. But I think that we need to develop the free energy, because if we don't, we're going to kill ourselves that way. So these questions are huge, and they need to be openly discussed.
Now, my understanding of these free energy devices is that they're actually very easy to construct once you understand how it works. So if that's the case, then even though governments around the world set up treaties to stop the technology from being converted into a weapon, but individuals, you know, quote-unquote terrorists, or anybody who is not satisfied with the situation, can always construct a very simple device that can possibly be as powerful as an atomic bomb. So how do you stop that?
That's an extremely important question. Once again, you're really your thinking is very mature on these questions, and I don't have a simple answer because, first of all, we don't know how easy it is to build one of these things. We really don't know. I have heard many reports of researchers that have think they have an operating device only to have it not operate at times. It seems like these devices are not very reliable. And that's one of the reasons why the development has been delayed. And maybe that's actually good news. I have a theory, and it's maybe a wild one, that maybe these devices respond to the conscious intention of the experimenter. And that there may be an energy field of consciousness which is, I think, very similar to the energy field itself that can generate the electricity, that perhaps these devices respond to the intention of the experimenter. Now, there have been some preliminary experiments that show that to be true. And if it is, maybe that problem can be averted. Maybe through positive thinking, positive conscious intention, that these devices can work only through that. It's maybe just a hopeful thing, but that certainly is a possibility. Now, yes. The other thing, of course, is that nuclear weapons and biological weapons are already there and can, under some conditions, possibly be used by terrorists. So I don't think the situation here, the potential situation, is much more dangerous. Suffice it to say, we live in a very dangerous world, and maybe through the exercise of consciousness that we haven't yet, and we hope it never would happen yet, ever have a release of any kind of weapon of mass destruction of any kind on this planet ever again.
In your, when I talked to you, last week, and you mentioned you had a meeting with Jake, you know, the guy behind the Zeitgeist Addendum documentary, and the question is, you know, what is human nature? You know, the insecurity, the greed, you know, the kind of ambitious, you know, we often find inherent in human nature, may just as well be a result of the system that we are in. You know, we are living in a system of sort of a so-called scarcity, you know. And maybe, you know, when we have abundant energy and we can eliminate worldwide poverty, and maybe a lot of the concern that we have may not happen.
That's my hope, Alexander. Mm-hmm. I really hope that we can mature as a species, and that the people of the world can arise and end this scarcity and greed. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that the powers that be want all the power to themselves, and there are many theories about who they are and why they're doing it, what they're doing, and we have to get beyond that. It's obvious that building coal power plants or increasing even further the U.S. military budget is ridiculous, because we can have a world of abundance. The free energy is pointing us to the day when people, for example, just like in miniaturization of computers and information technology, you could have energy technologies where you could fit a 10-kilowatt power pack in the palm of your hand and put it in your circuit breaker box or under the hood of your car, and you could have free energy. There's no more need for scarcity. There's no more need to have an elite hold all the power. Mm-hmm. Those days would be over, and there'd be no more need for pollution or for war. This is my hope. I don't know whether it can happen. It's really up to us to be able to be open to the possibilities here. And that's why this question of free energy is so important, and why people need to get beyond their skepticism and just be open to the possibility that we could have a world of abundance, that we could have clean water, that we could really have a sustainable future for humankind. This is my wish. This is my hope.
Dr. O'Leary, regarding what you said earlier, that it's possible that the device is affected by the intention of the operator, right? You said something like that. And I want to let you know that, yes, that's a very good point, and I have seen evidence that it is true, by the way. And so I thank you for reminding me of that fact, and I think it is possible that the intention of the operator can affect the effectiveness of a free energy devices. So if that's the case, then the situation that I was worrying about might not happen after all.
Right.
Because if your intention is bad, then the device would fail to work. Right?
That would be very useful positive feedback. That would be very useful forceful feedback mechanism.
One theory here is that there is a higher consciousness on this planet. Some people might say ETs, some people might say a collective unconscious or higher dimensional intelligence, whatever you want to call it. It's something that which may have prevented nuclear war, something which kind of turns the off switch if anybody has negative intent. And certainly experiments seem to show that when people are combined in intention, and the positive intention seems to be more powerful, it's a feeling of surrender to a higher power or energy, then it can be very, very powerful. There are many experiments that have been conducted by various researchers, William Tiller, Professor Emeritus at Stanford, Robert John at Princeton University. Some of these people have actually shown that people combined in intention can actually alter the material world. So I think eventually, in a sense, we are our own free energy devices. This is in the longer run. And that we are going to discover that. And when we do, humankind might enter a whole new phase of consciousness and evolution. And until that happens, there is this very, very difficult situation we're in, where we continue to rely on outmoded energy generation devices, and where we continue to fight wars and spend all the money on the military, that kind of thing. And that's just got to stop. And we have something to replace it with if we can only get through this very difficult period we're in.
Now, I mean, obviously, energy problem is in the back of most people's mind, and there are a number of books written about the oil reserves are dwindling, and we are going to pass the point of no return. And of course, there have been people looking for alternative energy. As a matter of fact, after I sent out the link to of your talk. To my email list, and then a person just wrote us an email, and he pointed me to a website link. It's all on alternative energy, and if you go to the link, they give you a long list of energy such as the solar energy, wind energy, geothermal, etc. Now, in your book, you also talk about that. Would that be an interim solution, or can we rely on that for a while?
Well, that's a good question, Alexander. We're caught in a dilemma here, because when we look at solar and wind, biofuels, geothermal, hydroelectric, and so forth, we're only looking at a very small percentage of the total energy mix. And that's why, for example, China finds itself in a dilemma in feeling it needs to build this huge hydroelectric system and the Three Rivers and the coal power plants. And Yes, solar and wind is better, but it's still very capital intensive. It's materials intensive. Let's say you were to power the world with wind power or solar energy. If you were to do that, it would cost about $20 trillion
$2 trillion
to develop
such. Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. you would have to use an enormous amount of land and an enormous amount of materials. It's a very, very crude technology by today's standards. We don't have to go look backwards. When people consider alternative energy, they don't look ahead, they look backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They look back into the 20th century or 19th century. We don't have to do that. And that's why, ideally, I'd love to see some sort of internationally sanctioned research and development laboratory where a number of alternative new and free energy technologies are looked at and considered, and there is some sort of management that is peace-oriented and where the security is good and where you can emerge with any number of technologies that are breakthroughs.
Now, recently, I mean, with the Obama, administration, and there's the new head of the Department of Energy happened to be a Chinese scientist. Have you have any experience, with that department?
Well, yes, a very limited experience. Of course, I've had a background in NASA going up to about 30 years ago. And so I've had occasional interactions. I think it's Stephen Chu, who's the new Secretary of Energy, and he seems to be more enlightened, more visionary than some of the people before him. And likewise, the President's Science Advisor, John Holdren, also is more open to these possibilities. And Stephen Chu and John Holdren, and I've quoted them in my new book, in which they've actually said we need to examine all possible energy futures. We can't eliminate these possibilities. They're basically, at least rhetorically, saying what I've been saying all along, is that yes, we should leave no stone unturned in our quest for clean, cheap, abundant, decentralized, safe energy. So I'm more optimistic, but I think also what Obama is inheriting and what Stephen Chu is inheriting is a very, very difficult bureaucracy which is resisting these kinds of changes, because my repeated efforts to brief the Department of Energy have gotten nowhere.
I remember you wrote to them, right? You actually offer some suggestions to help out in this area.
Well, yes. I mean, certainly at first you want to be able to build a relationship with people in the government, and because the U.S. government, especially during the Bush administration, has gone in such a negative direction. It seems like Obama has inherited a mess, but on the other hand, nothing much seems to be happening in a positive way yet, and I don't know whether I can be optimistic about what's happening in the U.S. So that's why, one of the reasons why I think it's important to talk to some of the other governments of the world, including China and India and Ecuador and other places as well, and to make it also transparently clear that this possibility really exists and that it's been covered up, and that we the people need to stand and be make these governments accountable. Mm-hmm. And not to have them join the suppressors, the powers that be, that want to control the world. We really don't want that anymore. We want a whole new agenda. We want to think ahead and think boldly about our energy sources as well as many other questions, instead of trying to make the rich even richer and the poor poorer, that we can have a much better world with an agenda that's quite different from that that we hear about, the shadowy agenda that's been proposed by the so-called Illuminati.
Mm. Now, in your book, you know, you mentioned in your past effort to promote free energy, you sort of, you know, you kind of, there are four kinds of people in the world that are sort of have a different reaction to your free energy effort. Can you sort of explain to our listener what do you mean? What kind of people?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, what I noticed was that we here convened at Montesueños, which is our retreat center in Ecuador. We convened a group of visionaries that flew in from all over the world. We had people from India, from Europe, all over South America, North America. And we asked the question, how can we create a sustainable future for humankind? And certainly to me, a very big piece of that is free energy. And so when I proposed that to the group, what I saw were mixed reactions. Mm-hmm. And one group was what they called themselves the pragmatists. They were very practical people who never got beyond their skepticism about whether it was even possible, whether free energy was even possible. If I couldn't explain it to him in 10 minutes, then he kind of shut me off and said, well, that's not a practical thing. Obviously, the scientific community doesn't believe it is, and therefore it's not worth considering. So that's one category. Another category are what I call the truth seekers. These are people that want to uncover conspiracies all over the world, and they are more interested in the problem than in the solution. They can't get beyond complaining, and I certainly empathize with them, because indeed there are many, many lies that are being told by public figures all over the world, and that's very valid. It's very important to get the truth of what's happening. So there are those people. Then there were the spiritualists, people that sort of saw the harmony in everything, the kind of the Buddhists, the people that were that saw a spiritual truth, a higher reality, but they were a little bit maybe too unstructured. And then finally, there were the deep ecologists, the people that the pragmatists would call the doomsdayers, the people that thought the earth was finished. There was no more possibility for any kind of saving grace. And a lot of the ecologists, not only the scientists, but the environmentalists or the political progressives, are so cognizant of the problem, they don't really see the solution. So these four groups didn't really come together. And what we need to be able to do is become aware that there are these different approaches, and to be able to synthesize them, to be able to say, well, each group does bring a truth to the table, but can we now go beyond that, and can we look at the solutions to the problems so we can truly have a sustainable future?
Well, thank you so much, Dr. O'Leary, for enlightening us on this very, very important topic. And I think we're just time is about up now. So I know that you there's a possibility you may be coming over to this part of the world, and then we hope to be able to see you in person.
Yeah,
thank
that
you.
Would be great. Love to look forward to seeing.
I would
you.
Love to come to Hong Kong. I find the people very friendly. I see that China in general would be a wonderful place to discuss some of these things and to meet many of you in person. That would be very nice.
If you can come, please let us know as soon as possible. Maybe we can organize some seminar for you.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be nice. I would like to do that.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.